Hello, everyone. I'm Jensine Bard, and welcome to Testimony, where truth is told, lives are changed, and hope is given. Revelation 12:11 tells us that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, a testimony of your story for His glory.
He is the most prolific and highest-selling evangelical novelist of our time, with over 175 books to his credit, including the blockbuster Left Behind series, selling over 70 million worldwide and counting. His longtime association with Moody Bible Institute Chicago, where he served as former editor of Moody Magazine, vice president of publishing, and now chairman of the board of trustees, is also a filmmaker. As owner of Jenkins Entertainment, he is producing Movies with a Message, and through his Colorado Springs-based Christian Writers Guild, is raising up a generation of writers, all combined to bring quality entertainment to both screen and in print. And if that weren't enough, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest is the son of a former chief of police from Chicago. He has now embarked on yet another chapter, one close to home and perhaps closer to heart. His latest book, The Brotherhood, a trilogy police thriller, the first in this trilogy of books to come, tells the story of another kind, and one you are about to hear. Would you welcome with me today, all the way from Colorado Springs, Colorado, author, speaker, writer, and producer, Jerry B. Jenkins. Jerry, welcome to Testimony.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
First of all, Jerry, it's a wonderful honor to have you on today's program, and while my introduction of you does not do you justice with all you've accomplished, can you just begin by telling our listeners about your latest book and how you came to write it?
Well, it's been a long time coming. Having grown up in a cop family, my father, as you mentioned, was the chief of police, and my two older brothers followed in his footsteps and became lifetime career law enforcement officers. So I'm sort of the black sheep of the family, having gone into Christian writing. And I always loved the police procedure, and I loved being the son of a police chief. I was proud of my brothers and my dad. And when I'd written other things, if I needed input on weaponry or procedures or tactics, I would talk to them. But to actually build a whole book around police procedure was really something I should have done a long time ago. But I finally got into it, and I really am happy with the way it came out. It's sort of an homage to the city of Chicago because it's set there, and then, of course, to all the police officers in my family, too.
Wow. Is your father still alive?
He's not. He died in 03.
Oh, wow. So this book is kind of, if I understand correctly, kind of a tribute to him, would you say?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, I list him and my brothers and several other of our extended family who have gone into police work. I think there were 8 or 9 in our family. And he would have gotten a real kick out of this because a lot of the stories that I use for my main character are really stories I heard from my dad and that he was involved in himself.
Wow. Why an author and why not a cop?
Well, I never had the desire really to be a cop. I did help out when I was 20 years old. I helped out with 3 undercover drug buys, and I can still remember the fear to this day of having the person I was buying the drugs from find out I was working for the police, because I would have been dead. I mean, they don't go for that. And that could sort of disabuse me of any notion of ever wanting to be a cop. It's great fodder for a novelist, but to still remember that fear of every second of that 40 years later just tells you, what a dangerous life that is. And I became a writer in high school. I was a sports writer, and I just immediately realized that I'd found my niche, and I've really never looked back from that.
People have asked you how you have written so many books. Would you please tell the listeners what your answer is for that?
Well, people often say, how do you find time to do all this? And I say, I don't sing or dance or preach. This is all I do. And I realize it sounds a little falsely modest, but I really do believe the only gift I've been given is the writing gift. And so I feel obligated to exercise it. If I was a speaker or a singer, I might broaden my horizons and do something else, but I can't do that. Nobody would want to hear me speak, preach, or sing, or watch me dance, so writing is all I do.
Well, let me ask you this. This is a Christian radio program, and one of the reasons I do this program is based on Revelation 12:11, which states, "We overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony." And that brings me to my next question for you. When did you, Jerry, come to know Jesus as a personal Savior, and how has that influenced your writing and where you are today?
Well, of course, it's my whole life, and I came to Christ very young. I was 6 years old when my mother led me to Christ, and she actually led me through a verse in Revelation as well that talks about Jesus standing at the door and knocking, and I was looking at a painting of Jesus knocking on the door and noticed that the door didn't have any handle on the outside. My mother explained to me that that's symbolic of the door of my heart, and that I have to open the door and he wouldn't force his way in. And that verse about, you know, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man shall hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and eat with him and he with me." And so I received Christ then, and really had, you know, grew up in the church, as the old cliche says. And I was just one of those that loved it from the beginning. I had my periods of doubt when I was a teenager. I was not rebellious, but just realized that I had to own this for myself, and it wasn't just something I could inherit from my parents. And my dad kind of walked me through that, so my parents had a huge influence on my spiritual life. And I did feel called to full-time Christian work at one point, and this was even after I'd become a sports writer. And I thought, well, I'm probably going to have to give up the writing and become a missionary or a pastor or something. And mm-hmm. It was wonderful to realize that God equips you before he calls you. And I was already equipped. I wasn't totally ready yet, but I had been equipped with this gift, and so I was able to use that to follow that call.
Jerry, how easy or hard for you was it growing up in a family of law enforcement people?
Well, I loved it. I mean, some people have said, you know, growing up as the son of a police chief would be like growing up as the son of a pastor, where everybody's watching you to see how you behave. I wasn't a rebellious kind of kid anyway, but I was very proud of my father, and so I always got a kick out of it when people knew he was the police chief. So that part of it was easy. The hard part was it is a life of pressure, because anytime you have a loved one that goes off to work where his life is on the line 8 hours per shift, the last thing you want when your loved one is at work is to get a phone call because you don't know what the news is going to be. My mother was a great example in that, though. She said she decided early that she was just going to have to trust his safety to the Lord and not fret about it all the time. Otherwise, she'd be sitting by the phone and worrying the entire time he was away from the house. And so she just resigned herself to the fact that God had a perfect plan for him, and that he would protect him, and if he didn't, then that would be his will too. And she prayed for him, but she didn't sit around wringing her hands all day. And that was a great example to us, and it was wonderful over the years that he never really did face a life or death situation.
Well, that has to be an amazing thing, growing up with that peace. I'm reminded of the scripture that says, "He will give us a peace that surpasses all understanding." And would you say that you felt that growing up?
Yeah, and it really did go beyond expectations, because you should worry. I mean, there are a lot of policemen that are killed in the line of duty, and it is a very dangerous profession. And so this kind of peace does pass understanding, because it's the type of thing that just in human nature you're going to worry about somebody like that. But we took our cues from our mother, and she just said, "Let's not worry about anything until we have to."
In your book, The Brotherhood, you address issues head-on with tragedy, with forgiveness. Talk a little bit about your book and why someone should read it.
Well, my main character is kind of a justice freak. He becomes a police officer because he wants to see the good guys win and the bad guys lose and things to be just. Most police officers start out that way. They come through the scouting or the military or something like that, and they've got great ideals, but they get on the the job for a while and they become very cynical. It's a very tough profession with all that pressure and all the worst things of life that they see every day. They can become cynical and bitter and foul-mouthed and unfaithful to their wives and that type of thing. He faces some of that temptation, but he's a Christian. He's not a strong Christian, but he's a churchgoer. But he feels like he has the ideal life. He's got a great job and great future. But when he faces a severe personal tragedy that just rocks him to his core, it makes him question his faith and wonder where God is. And he wonders if he even wants to continue to be a police officer. And so he has to fight through that. Unfortunately, he has a compassionate pastor who keeps feeding him the Word of God. That's one theme that I want to have in here, is that, you know, there are a lot of positive things that we have to offer people today in the way of counseling and advice and mentoring and that type of thing, and those are all good. But the Bible itself says that the Word will not return void. And his pastor just resorts to feeding him Scripture and texting him on his phone every few days just with a verse that he should think about. And it doesn't return void. It's what he's hanging on to for dear life to get past his grief and his despair and even his guilt. And then the other theme in the book is one of the characters he runs into is a former head of the big Chicago gangs. Mm-hmm. This guy's a murderer and has committed all kinds of crime, and yet he comes to faith. And the question, of course, is, can God really save a person like that? I mean, our example is a thief on the cross who came to faith, you know, in his last moments, and Jesus told him he would be with him that day in paradise. He didn't have time to get baptized. He didn't have time to get his life straightened around and to turn over a new leaf and to make amends with everything.
Right.
The message there is that it's true faith that makes the difference. And so hopefully a reader that's going through some of their own struggles will realize that they're not going through things as deeply as my character, and yet God is faithful and will see them through whatever they're going through.
Well, you've just written an awesome and incredible book. On page 189 of your book, one of the characters reaches for Nikki's Bible and starts to read Psalm 23, which happens to be one of my favorites, which starts, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," and continues to the end, "I will fear no evil." Was this a mainstay scripture for you, your family, growing up?
That was a favorite of ours too, yeah. It's a scripture that really has to come to life. Sometimes we can glibly say, "I will fear no evil," and yet we fear lots of things. And evil is something that is easy to fear. But that very first verse about, "Because the Lord is my shepherd, I will not want." I mean, what an incredible promise that is. I won't want for anything if he's my shepherd. And he'll protect me, and he'll make me able to fear no evil.
Well, I'm clearly reminded in reading your book that as Jesus spoke in parables and said, "Let those who have ears to hear," what a wonderful way for you to get the gospel message out to those that may not darken the door of a church, may not be interested in hearing a TV evangelist, or even their next-door neighbor, but they will pick up a book. They will pick up a book that tells a story. Jerry, in our remaining moments here, it's been such a pleasure to have you on the program today. Would you just encourage anyone that's listening who is in law enforcement, who has someone that is in law enforcement, needs prayer today, that needs help, can you just encourage them from your perspective what they should be doing?
Yeah, it's really important to pray for people in law enforcement and also to thank them. I was just talking to a writer friend who has recently retired as a police officer, and he said every once in a great while somebody will come up and simply thank him for his service. And he said it's so rare. You know, people do it to service people nowadays, but it's so rare for a policeman to hear that. They get the underbelly of life most of the time. And he said he can still remember every compliment like that. So pray for them, encourage them, thank them. I think, too, that it's important for police officers who are going through tough times to maybe read a book like this. If you read this book and it's exciting and it's authentic, that's the one thing I really cared about a lot, is to make it authentic so that the police officers would buy the story. Because if I get the details wrong, then they aren't interested anymore. But the book might be of encouragement to a police officer too. And there's story in there of conversion and of forgiveness and reconciliation. And that's the message of the Christian novelist. There's always hope at the end.
That's fantastic. Jerry, can you tell our listening audience as we close out today's program where they can get your book, your website? Please give us that information.
Yes, my website is jerryjenkins.com. And if people are interested in writing, Christian Writers Guild, GUILD.com. And the book is available everywhere. You can buy it online. You can buy it. And of course, we always want people to go to the Christian bookstore and support them. It's in all the Christian bookstores and most of the secular bookstores and, as I say, online.
Well, Mr. Jenkins, it has been a complete honor to have you with us today on Testimony. God bless you for what you are doing and continuing to do in the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you are getting out in your books so beautifully.
Appreciate being with you. Thanks.
If you would like more information, you can visit our website at jensinebard.com. That's one word, JENSINEBARD.com. Or write to us at Testimony, P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. That's P.O. Box 1333, Palm Desert, California, 92261. I'm Jensine Bard. Please join us again for Testimony.